Hello, and welcome to Mental Health Matters Podcast. I'm your host, Liz Lang, and I'm here with Dr. Mark Burton. In this podcast, we will talk about all things mental health. Thank you so much for joining us. Hey guys, Liz Lang here with Dr. Mark Burton, and this week we are going to talk about aggression. So I am going to start by saying happy birthday to Curtis, my wonderful
husband. Happy birthday, Curtis.
Who is not aggressive at all. In fact, he told me apparently when he gets really mad, he has this vein that pops out in his forehead. And I've never seen it.
But I guess you've not noticed it.
Oh, I've never seen him. I've never seen him angry. Like really genuinely angry. Wow. Really angry. I mean, we definitely have times where there's friction between us, right? Or like get upset or we get, but I've never seen him. I mean, he's got a pretty good hold on his temper. I mean, in 12 years, I've never seen that vein. Although he did tell me the story of the one time he got aggressive was his brother apparently liked to push his buttons because his brother liked to see that vein pop out and his brother pushed him and pushed him until he flat out decked him.
Oh my God. The brother, yeah, brothers are like that.
Yep. I'm also going to give a disclaimer because we're going to be...
Liz, I actually really appreciate all your disclaimers, so go ahead. I do.
Because we're going to be talking about the differences of aggression in male and female. And as always, these are generalizations, but they don't always hold true. There can be, in general, men tend to be more physically aggressive, but there are women who can be very physically aggressive. There are women who can absolutely be abusive. So let's start by talking about maybe just kind of defining aggressive or what aggression looks like, because I think there are different levels, right? I mean, because you can be what's called an aggressive driver, right? Where it's like you need to, or you can be an aggressive in sports, and that's not a bad thing. But if you're someone who has an aggressive personality, or if you're aggressive, like your words can be aggressive, your actions can be aggressive. So kind of maybe tease out the difference there.
So I think often in the office, people mistake the use of assertive and aggressive. Mm. And I try and help them see that being assertive is typically pretty good.
Yeah.
And not a bad thing to be assertive. But being aggressive is very different, and often, not always, but often we link it with that physical piece. But as you pointed out, I think that words or actions can, other actions other than physical aggression can be aggressive. I think it's when your intent is to try and intimidate or scare.
Yeah.
I mean, I think aggression is all about creating a power imbalance. Mm. And so if your goal, if you mentioned sports, and it's true, you can certainly be aggressive in sport, but what you're trying to do is create a power imbalance in a very real way between the two teams. So in some way that makes sense. Although I've always wondered about hockey, because hockey is pretty physically aggressive, more than a lot of sports, and they draw blood often. But whereas, in football or basketball, you elbow someone or something like that, or push them. So I think the thing that for me defines aggressive, other than the physical piece, is the intent to intimidate or create fear.
Mm, yeah. I mean, because if you are just flat out yelling at somebody and you are shouting and you are raising your voice and you are intending to cause this person fear, to me, that's aggressive.
Okay. Yeah, that's aggressive. And I think I'll mention something I did. To, it's about power and control, I think, mostly.
Okay. So let's talk about what's going on inside the brain that gets you to that point. I mean, because you have to be pretty angry. I mean, and, I think everybody has those moments where they might have a quick flare, but it's like, right? Where you snap and you have just a burst of anger and then it kind of simmers out. I think we've all experienced that. But for you to get either to the point where you want to physically harm somebody or where you are just yelling at somebody and you are blowing up at them, something's going on in the brain there to get to that point.
Well, I think there's something always going, obviously there's something always going on in the brain. Sure. And the brain is very complex, so we're going to try and simplify it. But I think that, you know, I think any act of aggression, something's being triggered in the brain. So there are going to be two parts of the brain that I think are involved, prefrontal cortex. And so as we talk about the prefrontal cortex, which we've mentioned before, that's your executive function. And so that is the thing that inhibits or allows you to inhibit a response. So if you think, wow, I'm really angry or I want to punch this guy, which, you know, maybe we've thought about that. But then if your prefrontal cortex is operating in a good way, then you don't do that. You make the choice. You know, you're able to make that choice. So this isn't one. Not right. Maybe it's not my value system. I'm going to get in trouble.
Yeah.
And so in people who become overly aggressive, I think that there's probably some issues with their prefrontal cortex associated with the limbic system. So again, we talk about the limbic system, the amygdala, the site of, you know, holding that emotion. And so I think that if you get so regulated, and the word I use often is flooded, you know, that, and so something, So those two things happen. Something occurs that triggers you. You become flooded. Your the limbic system, the amygdala gets triggered. I always use the term inflamed. And again, I want to stress that is not exactly what's happening.
It's
the way I find it useful to visualize it that way. So you have that happen, and then you pair that with your prefrontal cortex not operating exactly the way it should. And I think you then get that aggressive act.
I think there's also probably a component of adrenaline going on as well.
Right. I mean, or testosterone, which. So, I mean, the idea is that you mentioned this earlier, that men often are more physically aggressive. Now, a lot of people tend to link that to testosterone. Now, this is going to be a long ways back. I can't even remember when we talked about that, the work of Robert Sapolsky, where he, you know, he's a biologist who's been doing the research on things like testosterone. In fact, one of his more interesting books is called The Trouble with Testosterone. And so I want to remind our listeners that what he says is testosterone is not about aggression. Testosterone is about emphasizing or making what is culturally acceptable more likely. So he uses the example in his, He did a talk at Stanford. He uses the example of like if you had a group of Buddhist monks and you pumped them full of testosterone, they wouldn't become aggressive. They would become overly altruistic. You would have so many nice things going on that, you know, it would be hard to see. They would be tripping over each other to be altruistic. So I think part of the problem that we've mentioned is that aggression in men tends to be reinforced in our culture. And so he would say, I know this, in fact, I've heard him say this, that testosterone does not cause the aggression, but it just reinforces and makes more likely that behavior that our culture already reinforces. And I think values or rewards. I mean, if you think about football, we're going to talk about football a little bit more in a bit. But if you think about football, I think there are so many men who watch football and they value the aggressive nature of the people on the men on the field. And so I think that's the problem. I think that's why men are likely to be more aggressive, is because it's reinforced.
So here is a theory, maybe this is a cultural phenomenon, but this is just an idea that I had, that part of the reason why that this idea of aggression can be sometimes rewarded is it comes from this idea of protection, right?
Because I agree.
Because if, you know, and why maybe females might even initially kind of like that trait, because if you have a man who is who tends towards aggressive, that means that they can protect me from somebody who wants to harm me. And that's something that women are going to seek out.
No, I agree with you. I think that we don't often think about how we've evolved. And so if you think about, you know, living on the savannah 10,000 years ago, you'd want the guy who's aggressive. Because that guy's going to keep you safe.
Right.
And so I think throughout time, that idea of keeping safe, for the big, strong male to protect the family, to protect the mother, to protect the kids, is important. And so, yeah, I think you're right that there's a reason that we tend to value that. And the problem with evolution and those types of things is that often we don't need those same things now.
I agree.
Right? In the society in which we live, we don't need that. Although some people would say they want that big, strong male to protect them. But I think they're seeing threats all over the place. They're the guys who are carrying guns into McDonald's because for whatever reason, they think they're going to need the gun in the McDonald's. And so that is being overly aggressive, but they're protecting the people that they love. You're right.
And honestly, I think the problem with desiring that is I don't think it's necessary, right? I mean, because Curtis is not
nowadays.
Kind of what I mean by this is Curtis is not by any means an aggressive person. But if there was genuinely somebody who wanted to do harm to me or his kids, he would defend us, right?
Right.
And he would, even if that meant getting a physical altercation with someone, he would do it. So, I mean, I can see from an evolutionary standpoint why people would desire that, but I don't think it's needed because I think that that's in most people's nature. So, but I really like the distinction between being assertive and aggressive because, I mean, it is important to be assertive. And, you know, Curtis can certainly be assertive and it's something that I appreciate. Right. Yes. I mean, I've always very much appreciated that because, you know, he will stand up for himself. He will stand up for others. And that should be way, way more highly valued than aggression. And also, I think that if you're an assertive person, then that does say, hey, if I see a wrong somebody or somebody is picking on somebody or somebody wants to do me harm, I trust them that they're going to be assertive enough to stand up and say, no, that's not going to happen.
Right. And so what I'm going to say next is a little bit off topic, but I see often couples and the men are not assertive. Almost universally, what happens is their wives are attracted to them initially because they aren't assertive.
Yeah.
But eventually they want them to be assertive.
Yeah.
Not aggressive, but assertive. And so for some men, that's actually hard to do. They aren't wired that way. But I agree with you. Being assertive is not a negative thing. And there are times when it's really appropriate and it feels good often to be with someone who is assertive because just as you said, you can take care of others by being assertive often.
Yeah. Yeah. And I remember when Curtis and I were first married, I remember thinking, man, you know, I really appreciate that he would do anything to make me happy, but he's just not going to bend over and try to kiss his own rear end just to make me happy. Yeah. Right. I mean, so again, and now I can recognize he's assertive and, you know, he's kind, he's caring, he's loving, and he will do as much as he possibly can to help make me happy, but he's not going to demean himself and he is not going to let me run all over him. Not that I would, but he's not going to let himself be run over by other people.
Right.
So really want to get into Travis Kelce and the Super Bowl.
Okay. So the other one we ought to mention, because is the Will Smith. Are you going to talk?
About yes. Okay. I want to talk about both especially because one of them, well, I mean, they were both kind of heat of the moment, but they're just different. And I mean, I don't.
Right. Will Smith had time.
Yes.
To think about it.
Yes.
So I think the Travis Kelce thing. So I don't watch sports, but I certainly saw this because it was all over the internet, right?
Yeah.
And so I think what was the situation? He was mad that the coach did something. Is that
the coach? The coach pulled him out of the game, and he wanted back in, and so he is yelling and screaming at the coach.
He's right up in his face, though, right?
To put him back in the game.
Yeah, yeah. So he's right up in his face, though. I mean,
Yes.
Obviously, but they're like an inch apart.
Yeah.
And so, well, since you mentioned this last week that we were going to talk about it, I've been thinking about it. And I think there are maybe some factors that are important. And what I mentioned to you, I think with Taylor Swift being there is actually a factor.
Mm-hmm.
And here's why I think it is. So she is arguably maybe the most successful entertainer in the world, or at least one of them.
Yeah.
And so, but the other thing is he is, I think anyone would agree, he's a pretty successful football player. He's helped the team to two I think, two Super Bowls in a row, right? So
yeah,
I think so. So he knows that this girlfriend, who it's early stages in the relationship.
Yeah.
He wants to impress her, mm-hmm. right? And so he probably thought, I've got to be in the game in order to impress her. I've got to, you know, they ended up winning the game, which, you know, was great. But mm-hmm. so I think there's that. I think that what you said earlier about aggression in sports, he's out there trying to be as aggressive as he can.
Yeah.
Right. And I don't know the time frame, like when, how far into the game did the coach pull him out?
But, this was like third or fourth quarter. Okay, it was so the second half.
He's got three quarters where he's out there being as aggressive as he can. I'll bet he's scary. I mean, he's a big guy, right? Mm-hmm. So he's mm-hmm. trying to be as scary as he can. He comes off. So if you think about the limbic system or even the prefrontal cortex, how do you make that switch so quickly?
Right.
To being aggressive, to not being aggressive. In some ways, I think that was, it should have been expected in some ways. Because I don't know how anyone can shift that quickly.
Okay. So, and again, that is the culture. I think all of this was cultural because so many people, I mean, millions upon millions of people saw this. And a lot of people were like, man, Taylor Swift needs to ditch him. That's unacceptable. Right.
Okay.
And then everyone else was saying, no, that's, you just don't understand the culture of football. And Curtis was in the culture of football camp because he's like, literally coaches to rile up their players will literally yell and cuss in their faces to rile them up.
Right. And so they're trying to instigate that aggression.
Yes.
And so, my sense is, I think they patched it up, didn't they? Between the
Well, the coach came out and defended him. The coach, right after the game, the coach is like, yeah, no, we're good. We're fine. So, I mean.
Right. So the coach gets it.
Yeah. Well, probably.
I think the problem is it's in front of 50 million people.
exactly. And so I guess it makes me wonder, why would you want to be in that culture? That's really what baffled me. And, you know, I almost wondered if Taylor Swift was going to ditch him because she's tends towards feminism. And I figured she'd see that and think, time out. No, we're not going there. Like, I'm not going to put up with that. But apparently, as far as I know, they're still together.
Well, yeah, but what makes you think she doesn't want the big caveman guy to protect her?
That's true. Yep. That's true.
Why not? I think what little I've read about that relationship, he is very different than the other men she's dated in that way.
Okay.
Right? More manly, more aggressive, more macho, more masculine. Okay. Right?
Yeah.
I think she wants it.
Well, apparently she is also extremely different from any of the other girls that he has dated, I guess, too. So I don't know. I mean, they're America's sweetheart right now, but.
Right.
You know,
but this is our topic next episode.
Yes.
Do opposites attract? And so, we can go into it then. But I think that. So I'm not surprised at all that she didn't ditch him. Now, she might be embarrassed and he might be embarrassed that happened.
Sure.
You know, in front of so many people. But that's very different than saying, oh, that's unacceptable. Especially if the coach comes out and says, no, we're good. It's okay. Because the coach wants him to be aggressive.
Yeah.
If the coach gets in the way of the aggression, that's friendly fire.
Well, and something that Curtis pointed out is after that incident, he went out there and performed very well. Apparently it worked. But, you know, I mean, because what they're doing is they're triggering your fight or flight response.
Yeah.
That's exactly what aggression is, I mean, because your flight or fight response is triggered and you're choosing to fight.
Well, but if you think about it from a threat, the Super Bowl, I suppose, I don't know what the monetary thing is. Apparently they get a lot of money.
Yeah.
It's a big deal.
It's
a huge deal.
And
so you've got this other team, these other individuals who want to take that away from you. They want to take away something that's very important to you.
Yep.
So of course you're going to fight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I sincerely hope that my son never gets into football.
Well, I hope so too, because they're tremendous. This is again another issue, tremendous brain issues.
Yes.
From all the hitting, and so.
Yeah,
I wouldn't recommend it for anyone.
No, but again, I mean, it's America's most popular sport, and they've tried with the new helmets to help, but it's not
worth brain damage.
I know. You know, you made the comment. I'm actually wearing a San Francisco 49ers hat.
Yeah, pink.
Okay, so I have a small head. This is actually my daughter's hat, and it fits me very well because I just have a small head, so that's why it's bright pink. But I really don't like professional football at all, really, in general. But Curtis loves it. He's a very big 49ers fan, and so I support him when there's a big game on, or for the Super Bowl, we hosted a party and we did all sorts of fun stuff and we had a good time with it. But the culture of football is not for me.
Yeah, it's not for me either. Okay, Will Smith.
Yes.
That's an entirely different and confusing, to me, aggressive act.
Because yes.
If you go back and look at it, so Chris Rock makes his joke. Will Smith laughs at it.
Uh-huh.
Turns to his wife, sees that his wife is unhappy.
Yeah.
And that's when he makes the decision to get up and go slap. Now, that is such a huge failure of his prefrontal cortex.
Right. Like, because you
it's
have
such
to
an
time.
Epic failure of it. Yes. Like, one, we're being televised. Two, you know, here you are at the Oscars. Is that?
I don't even remember. I don't know.
Whatever it was. And he makes the choice. It wasn't even an impulse. It doesn't seem like. Is that true for you?
Does it seem impulsive? I think it could have been initially, right? I mean, because initially he's angry and you stand up and you're like, I've got to do something. I've got to defend my wife. And that's another important part is that Chris Rock made a joke about his wife specifically.
Right. So is it that he looked at her and that what got triggered was that instinct to defend his wife?
Yes, but where the big catastrophic failure happened is, I mean, once he got up there, he had a myriad of choices. He could have said, he could have grabbed the microphone from Chris Rock and said, do not talk about my wife that way, and defended his wife. I mean,
he could have even stayed down in the audience and done, I mean, there are any number of choices, but to walk up and slap him.
And that's where I think the getting up to do something, that was the impulsive part. But it's like, okay, you are a 50-year-old man or 50 plus. You are like, you are at least in your 50s. You have got to, like, what is happening in your prefrontal cortex? Because you could have made any better choices. Because I can kind of understand you get amped up and you feel like, I've got to do something. And so you walk up there. He could have made a public statement and said, I'm not okay with this, and then walked out.
Right. And so I have not heard him talk about this. I'm sure he has.
Yeah.
But I haven't heard anything. So I'd be curious about someone has to have asked him, what was your motivation or what was behind that? And so I have no idea what it was that what he thinks it was that motivated the slap. So we're talking about the slap, the defending his wife. You know, I can see that and make sense. But as you pointed out, there are so many other options.
I mean, because he had all of this time walking up there, and it's not like he's right in front of him. He had to walk up to the stage. Like, there could have been a better process somewhere between walking up to that stage where he thought, okay, slapping him is not a good idea, but I'm already committed. I've got to do something. I've got to have some sort of follow through. Otherwise, I just look like an idiot standing here in the middle of nowhere. So I've got to go up there. I've got to do something. But a slap, like physical aggression, not the right move, dude.
I think, isn't he banned from that?
Probably.
I think for 10 years or something.
Yeah.
He can't attend in person.
Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah, that's really curious. Very different situations from Travis Kelce.
Yeah. Mm. Right. Yeah, exactly. Okay. So before we run short on time, I want to get into aggression in children. Do you think it's more learned or is it more genetic?
Well, as we've talked about in the past, I think there's a combination. It's always nature and nurture, but as to the percentage of each I have no idea. There are some differences. So for, if you talk about little boys being aggressive, they mm-hmm. tend to be more physically aggressive, and girls tend to be more verbally aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
See, I think a lot of that is cultural, because in order, say, for a girl to be verbally aggressive, they have to have probably a better understanding of what's going on socially, or be more aware of what's going on socially in order to be able to do that. Mm-hmm. Whereas I think, you know, boys often aren't that aware of what's going on socially until later on. I think culture as a whole influences our children in very subtle ways. And so I think, I mean, if you think about a little guy, he's probably watching football with his dad, or he's doing something with his dad, or he's seeing his dad be aggressive sometimes, then it's going to be natural for him to be aggressive. Now, that's the learned part.
Yeah.
If there is a genetic component, then it would be something different, say, about the prefrontal cortex or the limbic system. But I think it's something that they're trying to tease out, but they haven't yet. Okay. So all we know is that there are differences in aggressive behavior in children, physical for boys, more emotional, verbal for girls. I think that's cultural.
Okay.
Unlearned. But it's true. I mean, as adults, it's important. You mentioned this at the start. Women can be just as physically aggressive in the marriage as men.
Yeah, it is entirely possible.
And the problem is it's underreported, because a lot of men are embarrassed about it. Their wife is the one who's, you know, being physically aggressive to them. So it's not reported as often.
Right. Okay. So I have a bit of a funny story with childhood aggression. That's, I don't know, maybe a different type of aggression. So we're in church, and second hour is divided up into, and our church is divided up into kind of age, right? And so all of the kids gather together who are, it's, we call it primary, they're ages 3 to 11, roughly. And so there's a leader up front who's leading singing time. And so all these kids are just singing, and they're doing motions, and they're having a good time. And there's this little boy in the front row. He's probably about 4 years old. He stands up and, for no apparent reason at all, kicks the leader.
What did the leader do?
Stop staring at him. Like, she didn't know what, she wasn't talking to him. Like the kids were just like riled up, but he just stood up and he just kicked her. And it wasn't that he was angry. He didn't do it in anger. And obviously, I immediately go up to him and I grab him and I say, "That's not okay." And I'm like, "We have to go find your mom and dad." And it's like instantly he realizes what he's done, because he just instantly bursts into tears, because he knows he's in trouble. Because I know his parents pretty well. And she's like, "Yeah, we're having an issue with this." And it's not even that he's angry. His excitement just comes out physically. And I think.
Well, but see, ultimately what it is, it's an underdeveloped prefrontal cortex.
Yes, and it really is in that.
Right. And so he's not able to inhibit that action is what it is. So, yes, we're laughing. And I'm sure that the leader did not appreciate being kicked. But it's kind of funny. This 4-year-old losing control. But I think that this really leads into something I did want to say. I think as parents, it's really important for us to help our children learn how to control that, you know, as their prefrontal cortex develops as they get older. But a lot of that's about empathy. They're helping them to think about, I wonder what the leader would feel like if I went up and kicked her. You know, that's all part of the whole thing. But that's learned. I mean, this kid isn't a bad kid, and his parents aren't bad parents.
No.
But it's I'm sure he's not the only kid who kicked somebody in primary. It probably happens more than we know. But it's a learning moment.
That's what I
would characterize it as, a learning moment.
And so all kids are going to have moments where they're going to get aggressive. That is 100% very natural, because they have that underdeveloped prefrontal cortex, and they get mad. And so in the moment, and they're even going to do it in anger, right? In the moment, they're going to get angry, and they're going to punch, bite, slap, hit their sibling. They're going to do something, right? Aggressive.
Right, but they're experimenting, right? They're experimenting with behavior. What's okay, what's not. That's where the parents step in, is, you know, helping them learn. That's not okay. This is how you, this is a better expression of your anger. So
yeah,
again, it's a learning experience.
Mm-hmm. But anyways, so I mean, but I still laugh about it. I mean, yeah. We didn't laugh in the moment because, you know, no. I mean, it's not acceptable to just kick somebody. And it's not like he showed absolutely no signs of anger. And, you know, and his mom owned like we're having some serious impulse control issues right now. Well,
but, you know, that kind of makes sense. Lots of kids have impulse control issues.
Yeah.
Part of being a kid.
It is. And yeah. So, you know, maybe one of these days we're going to have to come back and revisit ADHD in children.
Yeah.
Because it's overdiagnosed because children just naturally have impulse controls. And it's our job as parents to help them. I think where you, if you don't curb it, or if you do just genuinely laugh at it and you're amused, that's when you can lead to aggressive issues as an adult. So
absolutely. That's right.
You know, parents, if your child is impulsive and if sometimes their excitement just comes out physically, you're not a bad parent.
No, and it's just your job to help them learn. Help them learn. That's
Yep. Okay. So either there was no show last week or there is not going to be a show this week. We'll see how next week goes with me in terms of editing the podcast. If I get the episode out next week, there's not going to be a show the following week. But if I don't get it out next week, then we'll have had a break because Mark is unavailable. So we're going so we're going to take a week off. And when we do come back, we are going to talk about Do Opposites Attract? And yes, we will once again psychoanalyze Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift.
Example.
Yes. So we're going to tie it in with compatibility. So I think it's going to be a fun episode and, you know, it'll kind of lead into successful marriages and can you be successful if you do have complete opposite personalities?
The answer is yes, but go ahead. Okay, we'll talk about it more.
Yes. All right, we will see you all next week.
Goodbye, everyone.
Have a question for Dr. Burton? How about a topic you'd like us to cover? Send us an email at mentalhealthpod21@gmail.com. This podcast was produced and edited by Liz Lang. Music is by Audio Lounge.